This is Not the Average Real Estate Podcast by Not Your Average Real Estate Investor. Dipna Boholt used real estate investing strategies to completely replace the income from her accountancy practice with passive income in just 18 months and has since taught thousands of others to do the same. Welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Dipna Boholt, and in this podcast today, I'm going to be sharing with you an amazing story of a young couple. Now, this is part of a series of success stories that I'm recording for you as podcasts. The reason I'm doing that is because I know when you hear these stories and how people have gone from very meager beginnings, some of them gone from negative cash flow, some of them have gone from just really tricky situations and technically being homeless to replacing their income and being able to do property full time. I know you're going to be inspired and I know you're going to learn a lot from the series. So in the podcast today, the young couple that I want to bring to you are a couple who, well, one of them is a tradie, and he's come from a background of working really hard, making other people money out of property deals, traveling 2 hours backwards and forwards to work, to being able to only work on his own jobs. And Em, who's the other partner in the couple, she's come from a theatrical background. She's come from all dancing, all singing on stage. And, you know, in that kind of lifestyle, it's pretty tough. You really don't know where your next contract's going to come from. And as she says on stage, there were times when she actually didn't know where her next meal was going to come from. And to being able to now having a portfolio with an equity of over $1 million, fantastic positive cash flow of over $80,000, you know, their life has really turned around. And the time frame is so short. You know, they've gone from a situation less than 18 months ago where they didn't know where the next money was coming from to now being able to have 3 and 4 jobs all stacked up, ready to go. And in some circumstances, they're turning over properties in the space of 6 to 8 weeks and making anywhere between $70,000 to $110,000 every 6 to 8 weeks. Would you like to be that person? Would you like to be doing that kind of stuff? Well, if you would, then you better have a listen to their story. It's a fantastic story. Their names are Az and Em. As I say, they're a young couple. They've got amazing energy. And this is taken from a live event that I did. So the recording is from that live event. You're going to hear people laughing and cheering and cackling and all sorts of things. But if you want to see the full version of the recording, the video version, it's actually on my website. It's iloverealestate.tv. You can go there. And Az and Em's story, along with a whole lot of other stories, are there for you to absorb and enjoy and be inspired, be motivated to create the similar kind of results for yourself. But you must work strategically and you must work to a strategic plan, which is really what they did as well. Have a listen to their story. I think you're going to love it.
Good to have you here.
Very welcome. Okay, guys. So you guys both had renovating things going on before, I love.
Yes. I'm really nervous.
You're gonna push me off the stage. Just stay there. There we go.
We both did a bit of real estate stuff before we met UD. Mm-hmm. And it served a purpose. Mm-hmm. I personally did things a little bit creatively because I had no money. I started with like Zipola. I was actually probably poverty line at the time. And I very distinctly remember burning my last piece of food. That's how bad it was. And really had to do all sorts of creative things, but...
Because you were in the entertainment industry, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, and it was very hand-to-mouth.
Yeah.
And...
So all the stories about struggling actors is the case.
Oh, yeah, the highs are amazing, but the lows, like, seriously, you're scraping yourself off the floor some days, and I actually really wanted to get into property. I wanted to own a house. Mm-hmm. Literally didn't think it was possible for someone like me, and I never, ever saw that there was going to be a way to be able to do it. But I suppose at the time they served me those properties and they allowed me to become more involved in property, and I collaborated with a lot of people and joined forces. But then it got to that point where my mindset equated accumulation with self-worth mm-hmm. in the real estate game. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that that's what I had to do.
Yeah.
And instead I was just going nowhere fast. It served a purpose, but then I wasn't going any further than that. I was just sort of staying in the same situation, and I didn't know how to move forward from that.
Yeah.
And I was dabbling in reno, yes. Nowhere near to the degree that we do now, because I was doing it all on my own. And
she was pretty good.
He's got to say. and it was regional towns and so forth. And look, I got to the point where I struggled with tenants and ended up in all sorts of dire straits, did things all sorts of shades of wrong, and learned lessons that will stay with me for life. But, yeah, then I met this one.
This one.
Mr. Perfect.
And he also had his journey up until when we met, which in real estate, but...
Yeah, my journey started off a little differently. I built my first home when I was 23, I think, at the peak of the market of when everyone else in the same subdivision was building 4-bedroom, 2-lounge room, 2-bath, 2-car. And I actually just sold that property 8 or 9 years later for an extra $10,000. So, as you can tell, I was pretty good at this real estate game. So the next step after that was to move to Queensland the first time with my ex-wife, and bought my dream home as a second home, because I thought that's what you do. You work really hard and save up a big chunk of money and put it all into your PPR. However, I did actually operate that house, now I found out, 100% illegally. I actually rented it out room by room, cash money in the pocket, which was great.
Uh-huh.
No smoke alarms, no separate exits.
No insurance. None of that.
No, none insurance. No. But cash flow-wise, it was amazing. And I actually paid $740,000 for that property, converted it from a 4-bedroom to a 7-bedroom house, and then sold that one 4 years later for $699,000. So, a little bit differently than how Emily started, but basically I was under my mindset around property was like, I gave it a crack, I didn't do any well, so therefore positive geared properties
is a
myth.
So how did you guys meet?
We met through a friend.
My ex-wife's cousin.
Right.
It was my oldest girlfriend from, you know, high school, and I opened, I won't go into the story because it's long and convoluted, but it started with a handshake and...
sealed the deal.
I thought he just absolutely wasn't interested. I was like, if that's not the biggest knot rack in the world, I don't know what is yet. Nice to meet you.
Must have been nervous.
So then it all blossomed from there. But, yeah, look, we were living in Melbourne. The market there was retarded. It was just stupid. It was just on the up and up. And we came up because we both were in a situation that we couldn't quite break into the Melbourne market. We thought we wanted to renovate there, and we'd go to an auction and the starting bid would be, you know, way up and above what the advertised price was, and it was just ridiculous. And it was just a nightmare, plus the fact that it's dreary and rainy and he was driving 2.5 hours each way to a job site. So that's 4 hours a day in the car. I was running a business from home, sending myself broke because I'd refinanced a property and basically poured it all into working from home badly, and dabbled in the US market. And I really wanted to give that a crack. I was getting up at 2 and 3 in the morning, making all my calls, and, you know, I went over there and I actually saw the benefit, but then once I got back here, it all fell to the wayside. And so we knew that something had to change, and we actually came up with a little strategy to rent properties and offer the owners to renovate the property while we lived there, and then sort of a seller JV type mm-hmm. thing, and we called it the Rentovators. And that didn't really...
That was my idea. Never actually did one, but they had a great name.
And so we just threw caution to the wind, put everything on Gumtree, took a leap and hoped the net would appear and moved up to the Gold Coast because it was mainly for weather and traffic.
So you joined I Love down in Melbourne, did you?
No, I'd actually seen you 5 times in the past, but I didn't...
We're a little bit slow, Dee. Okay.
I didn't know what I didn't know that I needed to know. And, yeah, like... I don't know why. I think because we would... I don't know. But I wish I knew then what I know now. We'd be 5 years at least ahead of where we're at right now in our journey.
People procrastinate because they just don't know how beneficial the education is.
Yeah, that's right.
And we'd had a lot... Like, we'd done a fair bit of education, but the education we've received from you is second to none. Guys, I have no idea how lucky you are to be a part of this. Like, we've experienced a lot of other educators out there, and Dee is... You're up there. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Thank you, Dan.
We went actually and saw you in the Gold Coast because we were in a bit of a lull energetically and mentally, and we went, oh, we need a little bit of a lift. So as said, oh, well, Dimpna's coming to town next week. Do you want to go? And I went, all right, because, you know, at the time... You're in a stinking headspace. And he suggested it. So I'm like, all right, yeah, let's go. So we went and we sat in the audience and I said, I thought he was going to say it, but I actually turned and I said, oh, I think we need to do this. Because we moved to the Gold Coast and 2 seconds later got this phone call randomly out of the blue, and we had the opportunity, which was really, really awesome, to be a part of a Channel 7 show for renovating. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun. But then I was personally stressing about when that experience finished and the momentum subsided, what was going to happen after that, and if we would have the emotional strength and willpower to keep going on that degree. So I saw the benefit in joining the community more than anything to just for the kick up the ass to keep going. And I knew, you know, look, it's... Environment wins out over willpower any day of the week. And I just was really worried that we would stop the momentum, and I just wanted something to fuel that to keep it going. And also too, it was getting really lonely. We were doing all these renos and then no one wants to be a friend once you...
Nobody talks
real estate. And we spent a lot of time together, and the conversation between us was even drying up at a point. So I was like, well, we literally need to meet some more like-minded friends, and what better parts than come and join a community around real estate. So.
Yeah.
So this was your starting position, what, in 2013?
Yep.
Yeah?
Woo!
Okay, 50,000. Look at that negative cash flow, 50 grand.
Yeah, we were in lots of bad debt.
Oh, dear.
Yep. And although there was some... trickling positive stuff, it was just, like I said, it was going nowhere fast. It was just round the merry-go-round. And, yeah, we just needed to do something drastic to get out of that situation. And,
So part of that was the move to Queensland. But your first deal when you got up here, this was while you were on the show? Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, how did this one go?
So I saw this online. It was 9 a.m., I remember it distinctly. It was a Friday after Friday, and I rang the agent and I spoke to her for about 2 hours. She was really great, actually. She was an awesome agent. And she said, well, Em, you know, there's been a lot of interest. It actually was under contract, but it's back on the market now. It fell through. So if you want it, I suggest you get up here because it's going to be open again tomorrow. So I said, right, I'll call you back. Anyway, I booked a flight. I was on the flight by 1 o'clock. I was up in Queensland by 3 o'clock. I was meeting in front of the vendor by 4 o'clock. And then... I think I flew out that night, didn't I, or something like that. Anyway, and we bought it. And we bought it for $336 because they wanted an extra $1,000. Oh, it was ridiculous. It kept going back and forth. And, we lived on site for this one, and because of the show, it took a hell of a lot longer than expected. And, plaster dust in everything, in our toothbrushes, in the pots and pans, everywhere. I was actually working still at the time because I actually didn't really think about the fact that we didn't have cash flow. So we just wanted to go. And so we got up to Queensland. We were midway through this reno and I went, yeah, we got no money and we can't pay any bills.
What Clint touched on yesterday about doing all your pre-work before you decide to go full-time, make sure you do it. don't get all ego like I did and went, nah, I can do this full time, I need an income. And basically we spent every cent we had into this project and lucky enough it paid off in the end. But obviously setting yourself up for full time with no employment before that.
Yeah. And I was working, I worked for a guy in Melbourne selling newspaper advertising slots in a newspaper that no one's ever heard of before, randomly cold calling contacts and making $50 per sale. And I was doing it from the park across the road because I had no office, because this one's jackhammering away and I'm like on the phone going, oh, I'm so sorry, next door's doing some renovations in the corporate office and I just can't hear you quite well. So, oh my God, it was a nightmare. And I was running over making calls, cold calls from, oh, it was a nightmare. And, and he wasn't paying really well either. He wasn't paying me at all some days. And so, yeah, it was really soul-destroying stuff. And I think midway through this reno, this was all while the cameras were wanting to film our journey as well too. So there was a lot of messing around and having to go to their schedule, which held us up a lot. But, you know, the other thing that nobody really knew and that the cameras didn't tell that side of the story is that... We were battling some pretty tough demons at that time, and it was pretty heart-wrenching at times, and I haven't really told anyone about this. But a family member of mine ended up quite severely addicted to ice, and I didn't know some days whether he would be alive or. Whether, you know, I'd kind of just hope that I'd get a horrible text message abusing the crap out of me because then I'd know he'd be
alive
here. And it got so bad that we were... I actually had to fly to Melbourne to go to court with him and victim for one of my properties. And it was probably...
He was living in one of your properties.
Yeah, and it got trashed and I didn't receive rent for a very long time, and hence why that was partly one of the sell downs that I had to do. But it was probably one of the single hardest things I've ever had to go through that ripped out my spleen. And I don't wish it on anybody, but to have to get up and be happy for the cameras and soldier on when all we wanted was him to be in prison, that way I'd know that he'd be safe and not dead. Mm. And I had to even remember, like, you know, I distinctly remember running out of the site one day to call 000 to get the emergency services around there because I didn't know what was going on. So
that's tough.
It was really tough, and life still happens. I think that's my point, that life still happens, and, you know, what looks glossy and rosy to everybody on the outside, you've got to remember that everyone's got a life going on underneath it all, and you just can't let that stop you. You just, as hard as it is, because I couldn't help him if I was in a weak position as well. Mm. So I just, yeah, I had to just, as hard as it was, rise above it. And
so if the cameras were offered again to say, come and do another show, what would you say?
I won't swear.
It would have to be for the right reasons.
Yeah,
it would have to have a stronger message, a stronger reason to do it. And you know, ironically, we were working on something before that down on the Central Coast, which was helping people. And then we just got swept up by that. So I probably wouldn't do that. It was great. It served a purpose. And that exposure has also been great for our business.
Mm. I think, as we've explained before, it wasn't quite the show that we were told it was going to be either, which they like to do. Mm. It was, as Em said, the amount of time we wasted, it was supposed to be more of a documentary-based style show of, you know, how we sourced the deal, how we do our due diligence, where we decided to spend the money, staying in the market. Like, we filmed so much content and then... That was the first episode that was edited, and then Channel 7, the senior guys went, oh, that's really good, but we just want to do this, 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 and this, and then it just flipped on around to being a glorified before and after show.
The bigger investors came on board, and they basically, they got scared, and they wanted to change it to be two reveals per episode rather than just the 1-hour-long episode for each reno, so it just became a bit glorified, and commercial.
All right. Yeah. So anyway, you're living through this one.
Yeah, we lived through this one.
It took 6 months.
It did. Longer than we thought. But
look at it now.
Yeah, we lived to see the day and it worked out real cool. And that we've kept that one. Because
this was our first flip, wasn't it, babe?
It was.
That someone didn't want to sell.
No. The flip that we didn't flip.
Yeah. So we refinanced it though. But a lot of that we paid out some investors and... you know, obviously we'd been 6 months without any income as well too. So although we made some great money off it, it was still, you know, we weren't sailing around on yachts in the Caribbean, that's for sure. And then the next one, Renault number two.
Just the figures on this one?
Mm-hmm. Yep, so we bought it for $336. Spent $30 on the Renault, obviously with stamp duty and everything else. We refinanced it in at $580. It's actually worth, $480. It's actually worth $580 now.
And so, this is on the Gold Coast?
It is. It's in Coolangatta.
Yep. And 110... sorry. Positive. 510 profit on that. And it's positive? Or you're living in this
No, it's very, no, positive. Very positive. Yeah, it's on Airbnb.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of money do you make on the Airbnb on this?
It's 53 gross and then net, what did we work it out to? About 20... I think the figures are in there later.
20 to 25, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Positive. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so you found yourself a cookie cutter.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah,
so we thought, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's do that again.
Okay.
And stuck with the styling, stuck with pretty much all the same materials that we'd used before.
Yep.
And we walked into to view a unit and we could basically see exactly what we'd done here and we re-imprinted it on this one. So,
but this one only took 6 weeks.
It
six
did,
weeks,
yeah, because
yeah,
we kind of knew what we were doing this time. We weren't making it up as we went along. So, we stuck with the tones and the colouring and created a space outside because, you know, that was ugly, very ugly. 6 weeks, and then we turned it around. Again, this one was being filmed, and we didn't want to sell it because it was exactly the same as the other one with cash flow. But we had to because we were contracted to the show to sell it.
You had to sell it under contract.
Because we were under contract to do a flippers show.
Flip.
And we hadn't flipped the property yet. And the amount of content they filmed of us and, they basically threatened legal action if we didn't flip it.
Yeah, we've got a nice little...
And if we had have had the education which we know now, we would have started up a trust and brought the trust and brought the...
We would have bought it off ourselves.
Brought it off ourselves.
When you're tired and run down, you're really not thinking straight. And that's probably a big lesson too, is don't make decisions like that in the mind frame that we were in.
So even while you were deciding to sell it or not to sell it, you made $18,000 positive cash flow Airbnb.
Well, we finished it just before Christmas.
Yep.
So the idea was like, do we put it on the market over Christmas time or do we not?
Yep.
And we thought we will just to see how it went, and then it didn't move just before Christmas. So while we had it sitting, it was all staged, ready to go. So we thought, well, why not Airbnb it? And traded another $18,000 cash out of it that way.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, you guys are doing this full time. You've got no income.
Yeah.
Other than your chunk money.
Other than the Airbnb, pretty much. Yeah. But thankfully, thank God, it was the start of, you know, pretty much the start of the Airbnb peak. So in that particular area, we were one of very few amount of listings.
Mm-hmm.
So it did very, very well. And it actually funded a 4 to 6 week trip down to Melbourne.
Okay.
But in hindsight, we probably should have put a bit of that aside and
for that rainy day.
Yeah. Anyway, but we were living on that one again, so that was another thing that we said we wouldn't ever do again. But you know, we had to.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really have the funds to not do that, so we lived on the second one again. And then we got to the point where we went to do the third one and went, crap, we got no serviceability because we hadn't been working, and obviously. Hadn't met you soon enough. So, if we had have known 12 months prior about the consultancy trust, we would have just been in such a completely different
situation. Well,
that's just
it. Put that into place and then you've got that income coming in.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's 100%. Exactly right. So,
and that's what I think the biggest lesson is, like one of my biggest lessons is, no matter what education you've had or what you think you know, you always don't know what you don't know. And I'd heard you before talk about consultancy trusts and all that stuff, and I was like, don't worry about it.
Would have made a big difference.
Would have made a huge difference. Massive difference. So, lesson learned.
And I think even when we joined Ultimate, it took me ages to really get it. And I don't think it was until probably platinum. It was probably a couple of events into platinum, and the penny dropped, and I went, oh, I get how this will help us. So,
this is why she talks about this stuff.
Because prior to that, it was just like, whoa, okay, this is so different, and everything's computing up in here, and it's just so not my territory. All the trusts and structures and this and that. So it was.
Well, you must have learned something because you did this one here on a put and call option.
Yeah. So that was.
We have to when you've got no money. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, we had to get a bit creative again, and so we went to the agent and offered her the listing at the back end. So she got two listings out of it, which incentivized her to want to work with us to put this offer forward. I actually still can't believe that we got it over the line because it's such a fast-moving market there at the moment. Mm-hmm. But everyone that walked in here went, oh, my God, it's disgusting, it's dark, it's dreary, I don't want it. Aesthetically and energetically, it had no flow. It was just dark and it felt bleh. So knowing that we could add a lot of light and bright to the place, we offered 400. They'd been offered 380. Mm-hmm. And we offered 400 because we could see the potential of what we could do in exchange for a put and call option of 90 days, which essentially gave us that extra month settlement on the end of the 90 days, which is really 120 days.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So you did the same thing.
Yep.
Yep. Just cookie cutter, exactly the same flooring, same paint,
same colours,
style, same everything.
Same.
Really boring, but it's profitable.
Same outside, creating an entertainment area.
Yep. And the benefit of doing the put and call option for the purchaser was they essentially had an unconditional contract.
Yes.
But for S&M, being an option meant that they had the opportunity to sell it during the renovation. Mm. So what's amazing with these guys is, their first deal took 6 months, standard renovation. They've always looked to how can we improve on it. So then the second one, what they did in 6 months, they did in 6 weeks. Then the next one, they worked out, okay, how can we do this by just controlling the property, never actually owning it, and just in another 6 weeks, turn it over without ever having to own it. So, every time they're looking at what else can we do, how else can we improve on the process.
Yeah, definitely. Always either combining strategies or just trying to use a different strategy or, just grow what your cookie cutter is, but just sort of learning from that and then just advancing yourself on the next one.
So your reno cost you 40-odd grand there, so 10%.
Yep.
But
yep.
A few holding costs and bits and pieces. You made another $100,000 on this one and you sold it 6 weeks later for $550 and you bought it for $400.
Yep.
To a lady that looked in and went through it six weeks prior.
At $400 and didn't want it.
And she didn't want it.
And came back 6 weeks later.
She actually asked if it was the same property that she'd gone through and she was still happy to buy it higher price. So, yeah.
She wanted the area.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what have you kind of learned out of the whole process? What are some of the key takeaways?
Okay, well, after that one, being in a little bit of a stronger position financially, we were able to then help someone else. So we're in the midst of finishing up a seller JV.
We were hoping to be finished by now, but...
Yeah, we were kind of meant to be finished before
and
this
a few
event.
Hiccups,
but we got held up with a bit of asbestos and timing and stuff and Bucks party and anyway, won't go there.
life, guys. Still got to enjoy life, okay?
So you don't... Like, what was the question?
Well,
so this is a seller
JV. Talk about the seller JV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This one's really cool. I'm actually really happy with this one.
Yeah.
Basically, we've learned a lot of lessons along the way. We've had some really good outcomes. So the biggest thing was like, okay, what can we do next? And we're in a position now where this lady was about to walk away with basically giving her house away for next to just covering her mortgage. She got ill a couple of years ago and hasn't been able to work. Mm-hmm. So she's in a pretty desperate sort of
She couldn't work for
way.
2 years.
And so we went in and seen the property, we said, look, this how about we work together on this one? So we actually offered her $370. So worst case scenario, if we go in there and spend some money and it sells as is for nothing, she at least gets an extra $20,000 to be able to at least move forward a little bit.
But we are looking at the moment after the reno's finished, we've spent how long have we spent on it now? About 5 weeks?
Yeah, it was a 4 to 6 week turnaround. It's probably going to be about a 7 to 8
But the outcome is that we're looking at pitching this in the high fives.
Mm-hmm.
So for her, potentially, she's going to walk away with an extra 65, 70 grand than she would have. And for her, that's so significant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do the same.
And we do the same, and we have an app to buy the property, which is so cool. yeah. But she was in a bad way. She hadn't had a shower. Well, she hadn't been able to use her shower in 2 years. She'd been having a bath because the whole bathroom was covered in black plastic. So
she'd actually pulled the bathroom apart to renovate it back 2 years ago and then got sick like a week later when she just collapsed.
And she has a child with a mental disability. Mm. So a grown-up child with a mental disability. So she
had it tough.
Worked really hard. Yeah. So it was really, really nice to be able to do this for her.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of the learnings out of this journey for you?
Say it again.
Some of the learnings out of this journey for you?
Working smarter rather than harder. It's not necessary. But just because certain people can do things doesn't mean that they should.
It's very testing on relationships when you actually become together. Because a lot of people don't realise that you go into business with your partner, it's all fun and exciting, but when you're actually in the thick of it, you're in business with your partner. You can't speak to each other like you would normally. Or you speak to each other differently and you listen. You don't hear things as clearly sometimes as if someone else was saying it.
Wow. But it's cool because we've been able to, with our Airbnb too, we've been able to give back to some people in need and offer them a free getaway, bit of respite, which is cool. Mm. And also, the other massive, massive thing from this community, which is just bloody awesome, is that I reached out last week because there's a lady in need that we're helping as well locally, who really doesn't have anything. She had a tenant do the wrong thing by her in a granny flat out the back, couldn't get him out forever, got him out, the place is trashed. She's works on the trawlers and has 1.5 arms because she lost half in an accident. I walked in to meet her and she's painting the wall herself with, one roller and one arm. And it just blew my mind how much of a battler and everything that she was and that she really wants to get ahead. She was showing, she just wants to get back on track. And I reached out to the community to see, because she wanted to Airbnb. I went there to essentially hope that it was going to be a listing. I had no idea what I was walking into. And it's totally not. But what I want to do is try and help her and show her how to do it herself. But she didn't even know that she needed furniture. So
on an Airbnb.
Yeah.
Yes. So I reached out to the community. And if it's okay, can I just mention a couple of people that have really helped?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Amanda McFarlane, Sue Jordan, Shane Radburn, Lorraine McCaig and Shane Primer donated $500. I was blown away because, it's one thing for us to be able to help people, but when a whole community pitches in and you can help people, and I think that's the moment it really just clicked that this is really powerful.
Mm, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Well done. So here are some figures. I like this positive cash flow side of things a little better than we had before.
Yeah, it's nice.
Looks a bit better.
We can live, yay.
So, where to from here?
That's the million-dollar question. Well, can you flick the slide? Because then I'll remember. Because I can't.
Well, this is about advice more than things.
But okay.
So, what do you want to do next?
Yeah. So, hearing Kevin yesterday, I would love to get into be able to help the aging population like that. I think that's an amazing, amazing idea. But really, personally, and as has got his own reasons as well and own whys, but I really want to be able to help empower other people that maybe in a struggling situation or not think it's possible for someone like them to believe that it bloody is. And you can. It doesn't matter your circumstance or your situation. You literally, literally, literally can turn it around. And it doesn't matter if you've got no money even, with the strategies you teach, you don't even need money. Mm. So I think I'm really passionate about doing that. And the other thing is also in alignment with Az, I really want to help my family. you know, I've seen when I was a kid, I've seen my dad in a position that he had a multi-million dollar company in the music business. And then yesterday he called me, he was tickle pink. He was like, guess what? I'm going to become an Uber driver. And I just thought, good on ya. But I don't want him doing that. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to retire my parents and my family and because of what they've done for me. And I know that Az is the same as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, 100%. Family.
Yeah, family. Yeah.
So your advice?
We're going to own Mick Fanning's house too. He just doesn't know it.
He hardly uses it.
Every time we drive past and we're like, oh, I love it. Oh, my God, I love it. It's amazing.
The shiny things. Oh, we've had a few conversations around shiny things.
Shiny object artists. Yeah, that's a big one. I think that's the biggest piece of advice. If you've got a strategy, stick to it. And if you know what you want, go after it. You'll get sidetracked. Things will come at you like missiles. And, you know, they will look great on the surface. But the more you spread yourself thin, you can only chase one rabbit. So... That was from my granddad. He told me that. If you're going to catch one, you can only chase one rabbit. But the more you...
Wow.
The more you focus on...
Love
it. Gets diluted. So, you know, the more potent you want things to be, just focus on one thing. Tam will testify that we've had many a thing come along since we've been with Platinum that... could have been great and couldn't have been amazing, but I think, you know, the more you change your focus, the less strength there is in it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Become and also, I'd just like to add that, like, everyone that's come up on this stage over the last couple of days has got some amazing stories, and everyone has their baggage or their stories that they go through, like Em just sort of mentioned. I've got a story as well. I don't like repeating or going back through it, but hopefully it relates to everyone in the room, because it doesn't matter where you are or where you're starting, like, just move forward. Whether it's one step at a time, whether it's even if it takes you 10 years to do your first deal, who cares? Like, you're not, like, even this being called a competition, we're streaks apart. Like, everyone that's in, that's got up on the stage to speak this weekend is streaks apart. Like, everyone's living their own journey, doing their own thing. There's no, I don't feel any worse off because I've only done 6 deals as opposed to someone else's 10 or anyone else to go up and only done 1 deal. As long as you're doing some sort of deal that's like inspiring yourself, but also, you know, you're enjoying it. That's the main purpose, I think. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to, just mention, like, I know all the figures and the numbers are great, but it's hard work still, but...
And I also just really want to give credit to you, my baby, because, you know, there was a time when you didn't even think that you were worthy of being here. And shout out to... the gentleman from yesterday.
Kevin.
Kevin from yesterday. There he is. I think there was a few synergies. And and how far you've come with that journey. And
yeah, massively. Like, I don't know, I don't really want to waffle or go on about it, but I was literally suicidal 5 years ago. I was done. I was out.
What caused that?
Some heavy drug abuse. And then just not happy in my life or relationship.
That wasn't with me.
No, that was the previous one.
You will be happy.
Yeah, but so as Kev said, you know, it's a lot of work on up here, and that, it's got to continue too. Like, I still have anxiety, I still get depressed, but not nowhere near that level. But it's just, as I said, just one day at a time, one step at a time, and even after everything we've done over the last 12 months, I still question my ability. So that's just that little anxiety bug that goes. Hey.
Well, surely being up here and you know, showing you off to the world up here really must hit home with you that, you know, what you're doing is special.
Yeah, it does. So thank you for listening, and thank you for having me. Thank you. And on that note, like, what we do is amazing, but we do it together. Like, we, like, it's, yeah, it's a team effort. It 100% is, and, like, sometimes our team doesn't operate so well. Other days it's on fire and we operate like amazing.
Depends how much sleep we've had. But yeah, mindset is the biggest piece of advice. Every morning, I still do my affirmations and, you know, I still write down my gratitudes, and then before I go to bed, I try and write down 5 wins that I've had for that day. Because it doesn't matter what wins they are. It could have been that, you know, you made the old bloke at the petrol station smile for the day and that was cool because, you know, it changed his day. I don't know. But I just think it's so important to appreciate the small things, because when you get caught up in this world and it's just everything's so big and you're operating on big numbers and profits and this and that, it's hard to remember some days just the simple things.
Yeah.
That are so important, so important, you know. And thank you for putting us up in this hotel. It's amazing. The bed is so squishy and it's awesome.
If so anyone stays here and knows the size of the towels, you can imagine what Em looks like when she comes out of the shower.
It's like the size of my car. It's awesome. It's huge. And then the buffet, I was like in Willy Wonka's factory on the first morning. It was like, I want this, I want a bagel, I want yogurt, I want eggs, I want cheese. Oh my God, it was amazing. So thank you.
Give a big round of applause. Thank you, guys.
Well, I told you they were a ball of energy, didn't I? And they certainly are. Look at the number of deals that they've done over such a short space of time of, you know, 13 to 18 months, and they're into goodness knows how many deals. And I've spoken to this couple recently, actually, and they know that they're now doing a lot more deals. They've been able to joint venture with other I Love Real Estate community members. They've stacking up, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 deals at a time, being able to make anywhere, as I said in the beginning, anywhere between $70,000 to $110,000 every 6 to 8 weeks. That's incredible. In fact, out of a conversation I was chatting the other day, because we talk about making money, and of course, when you make money, you've got to pay tax. So they went out and they did an actual deal, just one deal specifically to pay their tax bill. Isn't that great? It was a deal that they did in 72 hours, and the profit from that just goes directly to pay off their tax for the year. So I think that's fantastic. So if you'd like to be someone like Asnem, if you'd like to work strategically now instead of just a haphazard approach to real estate, if you're prepared to start getting serious, well, here's your opportunity to do exactly that. I want you to jump onto the I Love Real Estate website. I want you to come to one of my live events. I want you to listen to one of my live webinars that I do, and I want you to join the community. I want you to be part of the community. I want you to start working with my professionals, my accountants, my lawyers, my strategists. Start working with them one-on-one to work out a strategic plan that you can start to work towards creating the kind of lifestyle that you want. And part of that's going to be manufactured growth, and part of it's going to be cash flow. So I'll leave the strategy side of things to my amazing team, but get yourself on board, get yourself educated, and let's start working together. I'll see you somewhere around the traps. Bye now.